This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Jeremy Wolf.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Good Neighbor Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Wolf, and our guest today is Jared Osborne. Jared comes to us from Osborne Financial Group. Jared, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy. Appreciate it.
No, the pleasure is all ours, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in. So, Jared, let's start off with some basics here. Tell everybody a little bit about what you guys do at Osborne Financial Group.
Great. So we are a full service financial and insurance service company. So what does that mean? We have two divisions. We have the wealth management financial planning division, and we have an insurance agency department. So, you know, there's a lot of synergy between the two. The financial planning, wealth management is, you know, manage money, retirement plans, annuities, you know, the whole gamut. The insurance side of it, we don't do the property and casualty stuff. We do more of the life, the health, disability, long-term care, Medicare supplements. And we do that on a group and individual basis. And we deal with pretty much every single major company out there. So we wear many hats, but there's a lot of synergy between the two. So it, you know, it's a nice marriage.
So do you find that you're dealing with clients primarily down here in South Florida, the entirety of the state of Florida, nationally? Where do you typically draw clients from, and who do you typically work with?
So I would say 60 to 75% of our business is Florida based, but my roots are in New York. So I do have a lot of clients in the Northeast. We do have, you know, Texas, you know, we can't California. We are national. But I would say, you know, 60 to 75% of it is down here. I'm licensed in 15 to 20 states, just because, you know, been around a long time, people move. We are national, but I would say, you know, most of the business is Florida based.
So roots in New York. What part of New York do you hail from?
Manhattan, you know, worked on Wall Street for, you know, started my career. We'll get into that, I'm sure.
We won't hold that against you, Jared.
And New York fan, but, you know, my family, my parents are from New York, so my roots are there. You know, so came down here I grew up down here and worked on Wall Street for about, you know, 12, 13 years, and then came back down here about 20 years ago. So I've been back down for a while.
Came around full circle, huh? Most people start in New York and end up down in Florida. Start in Florida, go to New York.
I went to UMass Amherst for college, and, you know, it was just, you know, wanted to get into finance and had some contacts on Wall Street, and started working there in 1994. So been around a while.
Nice. I'm actually from I grew up in, up until 15 years old, I was in Rockland County. I don't know if you're familiar with Rockland, across from Westchester. So most of the New York is gone from my blood at this point.
New York's not what it used to be, but that's
We're happy down here in sunny South Florida. So let's go back. You mentioned Wall Street. Let's talk a little bit about your journey, right? How did you start off in Wall Street, and how did that evolve into you ultimately having an Osborne Financial Group down here in South Florida? Yep.
So I had a very close family cousin that was, you know, pretty high up at Lehman Brothers before, you know, it became what we know it is now as a defunct company. But prior to it, you know, going in the financial crisis, it was, you know, a very well-known, well-respected firm. He was there on the retail side. He got me in there, started working there, and learned the business, let's just say. Learned a lot of good and I learned a lot of bad, but learned what to do and what not to do. It kind of molded me into, you know, my business today. I started in 1994. Everybody kind of left Lehman Brothers, the group I was with, and we then went to Prudential Securities, which is, you know, Prudential Financial now, and then eventually came back down here and started working for Raymond James, and then I you know, with the firm I am now, Cetera Advisor Networks. So
I think everybody has, what's the word I'm looking for? If everybody hears Wall Street nowadays, I think the industry, it's been so demonized, right? By everybody hears Wall Street, I think Wolf of Wall Street, and they go to that whole space. What are some common myths or misconceptions that you might be able to clear up for people out there that have that knee-jerk reaction when they hear, well, it's just like I did. Like, we won't hold it against you, right? Because that's
a small
percentage of any industry is going to have.
100%. And so that is a big, you know, financial advisor, you know, they're only, you know, they don't work in your best interest, or insurance, you know, insurance agents, they're just there to, you know, sell you. And there are, unfortunately, a good amount of those out there. The industry has definitely changed, especially the financial service industry. Now, you know, I am a fiduciary. I have to work in the best interest, and I always have. But, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations now. You know, we have to work in the best interest of our clients. I would hope everybody would do that, but not everybody does. You know, the typical misconceptions of an insurance agent, you know, they're just there to sell you something. The one thing about Osborne Financial Group is, one, we've been in business for over 20 years. Most of our business and growth is organic. So we work pretty much off referrals. We don't do a ton of marketing. We do some like this, you know, obviously. And, but I wouldn't be in business, you know, and have, you know, where I am today, if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, we're very service oriented. We do it in the best interest of our clients. And that's another reason why, you know, and especially on the insurance side, we're an agency. So we work with all the carriers. So we're able to not just offer, you know, one or two carriers. We're able to show, you know, our clients, you know, full gamut of products. You know, pricing's not always, you know, the main goal, but, you know, it's a big part of it, you know, so we try to offer the best product at the best price and very service oriented. When you call us, that's another, you know, big problem or not even a misconception. It is a problem is, you know, you call somebody and they don't call you back. I have two assistants. If you can't get in touch with me, you know, within 24 hours, at least, I mean, we'll call you back. The typical misconceptions of the financial and insurance industry, you know, a lot of dishonesty, you know, I mean, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, you talk about, you know, Bernie Madoff, you heard all these things. You know, you can look at my background. I've been doing this for, as I said, over 20 years. I don't have any, you know, complaints or anything like that. So, you know, service, trustworthiness, honesty, that's our, you know, that's our goals here at Osborne Financial Group. So.
Right on. Yeah. And I think you get extra flack being in an industry where you're dealing with something so personal to people, right? With money,
there's
an extra bright spotlight shined on the negativity that is associated with that. Right? Whereas there is negative things in all different industries, but I think even more so, or it's highlighted in your specific industry. So 20 years ago, roughly, you started Osborne Financial Group. Mm-hmm. Where are you guys based out of? Obviously South Florida, but where's your offices located?
Yeah. So we're located in Hollywood, on Sheridan Street. We're in the Bank of America building on the corner of 46 and Sheridan. But the good thing about the industry is, you know, like a lot of industries is, you know, everything's remote. You know, we do a lot of things, you know, I pretty much, you know, I will go see most of my clients, you know, in the Boca, you know, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, you know, that's a good bulk of my clients. So yeah, we have an office, on Sheridan Street, and, we've been in this location for about 6-7 years. We were across the street, prior to that for about 10 years. So we've been in this area for, you know, a good 15 years now.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask was if a lot, cause it, I think specifically in financial advising industry, specifically you would, I know for me, I like to have a very strong relationship with somebody I'm going to be working with in that regard. So it's important for me to meet them personally if possible. Yeah. Do you find that you're meeting a lot of your clients, in person, or do you do a lot of Zoom calls or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. You know, I think COVID, you know, now I'm starting to go, you know, out again, but, you know, over the past year or year and a half, but COVID really, you know, changed that a lot, you know, because you had to do a lot of things via Zoom. with the financial planning industry, a lot of people, you know, like to see me, know me, and understandably so. Some people, you know, they move out of Florida. we've had a relationship for, you know, 10, 15 years, and they, you know, trust me and know me. So the going to see them is not as well. We do Zooms, we do calls, you know, email. It just depends on the client. But I would say it just depends on the insurance side of it. You know, I have a lot of clients that, you know, maybe have only talked to me or, you know, Zoom with me just because that's a little bit different. But the financial side of it, the wealth manager side of it, I would say a good bulk of my clients, I go meet with them at least annually, if not more. And it just depends on the client. Some people are fine with, you know, they'll, you know, call you or Zoom. Some clients like to meet every quarter. So I guess it depends. But yeah, I would say the financial, the wealth management side of it, that's a little bit more intimate because, you know, there's, it's involving a lot of, you know, typically money, a lot of money, you know, sometimes. And so they like that, you know, they're seeing me, they're, you know, they're, they know where I'm at. They know where to get me. They need me. So yeah, I would just, it just depends on the client, but definitely the wealth manager side is a little bit more intimate.
Yeah. I certainly, the more I think about it, I want to have my financial planner advisor. I want to have a great relationship with them, but at the same time, I don't want it to be like my best friend. I don't want them to have too much of an emotional, emotional connection to us. Cause that could, I guess that could cloud judgment or there could sometimes be emotions coming out. So
yeah,
it's like a happy balance there, right?
Sometimes it's a slippery slope. I mean, I have a lot of my clients are my good friends, and you know, look, you know, it's tough conversation when things aren't going well, whether with the market or not. And so, you know, you just have to, you know, that's definitely, sometimes I feel like I'm a psychiatrist.
but if there's enough trust there, if you have a good enough relationship, you know fundamentally that your friend is looking out for your best interest. So you're trusting their guidance. So I
right. See how that. And, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, the way I do business is, you know, very transparent. You know, I'm not doing it. I'm not putting people into Bitcoin. You know, and we're building a diversified portfolio, you know, utilizing, you know, many different products. And so, you know, I've never had a problem, but, you know, it could be, you know, I've had, you know, colleagues that, you know, lost friendships. And so I'm very, you know, and then there are a lot of friends who said, you know what, Jarrett, I'd rather you just do my insurance, the, you know, I kind of, because I feel like, hey, you know, I never want there to be a situation, yeah. You know, so, and I, that's fine. You know, and I'm not going to push somebody to, you know, if they trust me and they want to do, you know, they want that side of the business with me, great. You know, hopefully I do a good job, but I understand, you know, that, you know, how that could be a problem for some people. Absolutely.
Right on. So what do you like to do for fun when you're not working? Tell us a little bit about your family and your life outside.
That's pretty much my life. I have, I have a family. I have two children, my wife. I've been married 17 years now to two kids. I got a 12-year-old boy and a, you know, soon to be 16-year-old girl. So they keep me busy.
You're like 4 years ahead of me, man. My daughter is turning 12, you know, and my son is turning 10. So
there you go. So
what am I in store for? Tell me, because my daughter just entered middle school, and it's been an interesting journey.
Yeah, it's
this year thus far.
You know, I'm from all boys. So, you know, my wife is mostly girls. You know, she has sisters and whatever. So, you know, when I first got married, I just didn't understand that dynamic. You know, and so, you know, my daughter, who's the oldest, she's going to be 16. She's wonderful. She's great. You know, but there's definitely, you know, times when she could be tough, moody, and you know, you deal with it. You know, you deal with it, you know.
Kids. I can identify, brother.
Yeah, yeah. My son, you know, I mean, I was very athletic growing up. I'm, you know, another thing I do is I'm a big workout guy. So, you know, work out every day. And so my son, I coach him up in basketball. He's pretty athletic. So that's pretty much 95% of my time. I get 5% of time to myself maybe every once in a while and, you know, just relax, to be honest. But probably most of your time is your family, which I love, and you know, working out, you know, avid athlete, coaching my son. My daughter plays lacrosse, so and she's now preparing for, you know, college. So that's another thing we're dealing with now. So
any schools on her radar yet? I don't know. 16, you know, she has a couple of years left before she has to make a decision.
She's hell bent on getting out of Florida, which I tell her, look,
don't know why.
I mean,
once you get out of there, you're gonna want to come back.
He said, as you know, I have, you know, I thank God I saved for college, but I'm just like, you sure you don't want to stay in college? I mean, in Florida for college, because, you know,
as a financial advisor, I need to advise you to stay in Florida. It's going to be 100%. Very, very good on the pocket.
Yeah. And it's also, they're good schools, but you know, she just doesn't want to be here. I don't know why, you know, we'll see, but I'm pushing her one. I don't want to push her too hard, you know, but you know, we go up north every summer. So we're taking a couple, we're going to check out Penn State and, you know, some of the schools in the Northeast, because my wife is from Philadelphia. So, you know, we go to Jersey Shore every summer, and so we'll be not too far from Penn State. So she's going to start the process of looking at schools, and she's a good student, you know, but, you know, these days, who knows, you know, it doesn't matter. Sometimes you can be a great student and not get in some of these schools. So we're going through that process, but good luck with your kids. You know, there's I love it, but, you know, definitely keeps me busy.
Yeah, for sure. No, they say it's such a cliche, right? Time flies and it's a blink of the eye. And when the kids are young, it doesn't feel that way, especially when you have kids when you're a little younger. But now on the north side of 40, I'm 44 now, and the kids are starting to get older. And I'm speaking to folks like you that have kids just four years ahead of mine that are, and I had a guest on the show earlier this morning, a realtor. Two of her kids are already out of the state. One is in college now. You start to question, like, wait a minute, we don't have a lot of time left on this planet. We got to make the most of every day and make sure that we're making an impact and doing good things here.
100%. And that's if they want to, you know, hang out with me, you know, and now my son was like my little sidekick. Now he's like, hey, I'm off, Dad. I'm going to, you know, play basketball. I'm like, well, what about me? You know, like, you know, what do I have? And my daughter is just like, you know, she has her moments. She wants to hang out with me sometimes. And then, you know, sometimes she doesn't want to deal with it, talk to me, you know, sometimes. So
I think that's just part of it. And I think parents, one of the things I realized recently, I think parents hold on too tightly to the kids and don't, there's a certain age period with most kids, they are going to detach from parents because it's a natural process. They need to find their own way. My hope is to plant the seeds and deal with that in such a way so that when they do get older and they are in their 20s and 30s, we have a really powerful relationship and they come back full circle and we can speak daily and really be big factors in each other's lives. And I think a lot of parents push their kids away when they're going through that process and they're alienating them. So when they get older, they don't have a great relationship with them.
100%. And it's interesting you said, because, you know, I was just reading, I forget who it was, maybe Jordan Peterson or somebody. And he said something to the effect that, you know, success is not always about money and, you know, and all that stuff. It's if your children want to hang out with you when you're 30 or 50 years
old. I just got the warm and fuzzies, man.
Yeah, no, it's true. And so I was at my dad's 80th birthday and I said something to the effect during his speech. And because I'm very close with my family, and so is my wife. She's close with her family. So, you know, it's very important, you know, but there is a fine line between, you know, you want to give them, I want to give my kids a lot of independence so they see what the world's really like, because it's not easy. At the same time, I want to let them know that I'm there for them always. And, you know, they can always lean on me and I'm supportive. And so, you know, finding that, like you said, finding that, you know, middle ground is, you know, is challenging. You want to hold on to them, but at the same time, you want to give them independence. So, yeah, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, and yeah, you're right. It's not all about money. There are more important things. But that being said, money is very important.
So
for anybody out there that's listening, mm-hmm. that is looking for a good financial advisor or an insurance agent for that matter, Jarrett, let us know how we could reach you. Maybe share your website, your contact information. I know you already mentioned that your offices are in Hollywood, but let us know how we could reach out and learn more.
Yep. So, you know, I have a website, Osborne, OSBORN financial.com or Osborne, OSBORN financial group.com. I have two websites because one is geared more towards the wealth management financial side of it. And one's more towards the insurance side of it. Our address, you know, 4601 Sheridan Street, Suite 410, Hollywood, Florida. Our phone number, 800, if you want to, you know, toll free, 866-963-3300 or 954-963-3300. And lastly, my email address is Jarrett, my first name, J-A-R-R-E-T-T, at Osborne, O-S-B-O-R-N, financialgroup.com. You can call us, you can email us, you know, text us. We have a cell phone, 917-640-8447. We're here, you know, pretty much 9 to 5, but you know, I pretty much return emails, you know, throughout the day and evening sometimes. So, you know, that's how you can reach us. And, you know, anybody who, whether it's, we don't necessarily, you know, need you to be investing hundreds of thousands of dollars. We take, you know, smaller clients as well, which is another misconception that, you know, you have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to start investing. It's not true. You know, especially if you're young, starting a family, you know, setting a 529 plan, setting up, you know, retirement plan or life insurance, you know, if you're newly married or things of that nature, estate planning issues. And we work in conjunction with accountants and estate planners and lawyers. So, you know, like I said, if you need us, email us, call us, and we'll, you know, we'll get back to you very promptly.
Yeah, I think that's important what you just said. It's never too early to start forming the habits of investing and getting everything right. So yeah, but most people out there, like you said, they think they need a lot of money to start working with a financial planner. You just having a conversation with, even if they don't end up working with you, just speaking to you so you could offer some advice to somebody who's just starting off so that when they start working, they understand that, you know, maybe you're not making a lot of money right now, but just putting a little bit away over time, that's going to lead to a lot more saved than
as it were. No, and it's true. I mean, dollar cost averaging, you know, little, you know, the most people, you know, who have money, you know, not all, but a lot of people with money started off with a little bit, built it up, you know, were patient. And that's the whole thing, you know, with especially the youth today, it's instant gratification. That's not investing. Okay. It's a long-term process, and it takes time and patience. And so, you know, that's something that we stress here, you know, that it's, you know, little by little, you know, you can start with a lot of money and that's great. You know, maybe you inherited money or you just did, you know, sold a business or something, but you know, when you're young, especially, you know, you don't necessarily have the means, and that's why, you know, put money in your 401k. If you work for something, you're putting in little money, little increments at a time. You know, you believe it or not, you do it for 10, 15, 20 years. You have hundreds of thousands of dollars in there. You turn around, you're like, wow, you know. So, yes, Jeremy, that's absolutely true. You know, you don't have to start off with a lot of money necessarily.
Instant gratification investing is investing in crypto. And the other side of that coin is it's also instant nervous breakdown because it's like a yo-yo.
Yeah, you know, and that's true. And it's true. And, you know, that's a problem, you know, that we have today is that, like, you know, I get calls like, you know, I want to buy Bitcoin. You barely can pay your bills. Man. You know, like I
want to hit it big.
That's not really rich quick. Bitcoin, you know, yeah. And so it's, you know, but they see it online. You know, everybody's making millions, and you know, you only see the great online. You don't see that they lost it all. You know, when the market got killed. You know, that's the problem with, you know, the internet, you know.
I won't get into my own personal crypto woes right now. We'll save that story for another day. But I've been through the blender.
That's
all right,
brother. Learn, I'm sure.
All right, man. Well, hey, Jared, it was a pleasure having you on the show. I appreciate learning a little bit about what you do in and around our great community. So truly, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. And like I said, you know, anybody needs to reach me, you know, let me know. I'm around.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Have a wonderful weekend. To everybody out there, take care, and we will catch you all next time.
Yep. Happy holidays, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, Cooper City. To nominate your favorite local business to be featured on the show, go to gnpcoopercity.com. That's gnpcoopercity.com or call 954-231-3170.